Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Monday edition of The Drive. Hey, it's not unbearably hot right now.
Nice.
Did you get any rain today?
Sprinkles so far.
I haven't seen any. It sounded like it was going to pour. I mean, I wouldn't mind if it rained a little bit, but I do appreciate the 20-degree drop in temperatures today. So hope everybody doing well on this overcast, at least in our location, and sort of threatening-seeming Monday afternoon. But it's game week, so who cares? Welcome in, everybody, to the Monday Drive.
Although, I mean, the weather can get bad enough that that becomes a bigger priority. But no, right now with just, I mean, be aware of some thunderstorms in the area. I'm still nervous, Bill, about the hurricane swirling in the Gulf, because once it gets into the Gulf of Mexico, it's a pinball machine and that thing can go anywhere. I know it's not projected to impact us too much. Be alert if you're on the Florida Gulf Coast, because it does seem like that could be a pretty serious storm coming. But no, a cooler day than we've had in certainly other times this month, and a great feeling when you've got a college football game scheduled at Jordan-Hare Stadium this Saturday, and we're, you know, we've been looking ahead all offseason, and now we've got a game to talk about and a season upon us to start the 2023-2024 college football season.
Yep, some games over the weekend. We can look back at them. We'll obviously talk about today was media day, basically, if you will, press conference for Hugh Freeze and some players coming over to the and spending a little time with the media as well. We can go over that.
Sounds like that could be, I mean, we'll see if they adjust it at all, but at the moment I would expect Hugh Freeze press conferences on Mondays.
Oh, his press conferences are going to be at 11 o'clock on Mondays. Right. That is set.
Yeah, we'll see if player availability remains on Monday or if they adjust that based on schedules or anything like that. I know we...
You know, what we heard in the just before school started, what is it? It would probably be Mondays unless some players could be pushed to Tuesday. So it could be some Monday, some Tuesday as far as players.
We do have a viewing window tomorrow for practice,
which is pretty cool. That's unusual once classes get started.
This week I've volunteered to go to watch the practice. We're going to have Andy Burcham in here in the studio tomorrow in the first hour talking with Bill. That should be really fun as we preview UMass and everything else. And we got Brian here to help talk about this upcoming game. And I mean, you were there for the players. We were all there for Hugh Freeze talking about this upcoming week. I mean, how you feeling, Brian?
I'm personally excited about college football. I'm excited about the start of the Hugh Freeze era. I thought it was interesting talking to Coach Freeze and the players today. There was just a lot of talk about it not just being an opening game, like it meaning more and being more important, just because you're sort of starting this brand new era at Auburn. And I feel that's true. I really do. I think if you just look back over the last 8 months or whatever exactly it is, what he's done to this program on and off the field, he's transformed it. And I'm not saying Auburn's playing for a national championship this fall, but they're a lot better than they were going to be. And by the way, he's recruiting right now. He's going to have Auburn at least competing for champions here in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, the optimism beyond just this season is at a point. I mean, maybe when Malzahn got things rolling in 17, right, there was optimism about what it could lead to down the line. But it's been a couple of years since, not just this season, but I think moving forward, people felt really good about, about where things seem to be headed. And that's, I mean, Hugh Freeze acknowledges that this team needs more talent. at different positions, right? Like, he'll answer questions.
Sure.
Talking about, well, we you know, that's a spot where we're going to need to recruit.
Yeah.
You know, top tier talent down the line, which is sort of a, you know, it's a signal that, yeah, maybe this year there are spots where this team isn't where Hugh Freeze wants it to be or isn't where it needs to be to beat the best teams in the league. But no, I agree with you. I think the work they've done to improve the roster from where it was the day Hugh Freeze took the job is really, really impressive, even in an era where a lot of schools bring in 20-plus transfers because, you know, that's just the way things work now to fill your roster. There's been a ton of turnover on this team, and they look to be, I mean, even with Tank Bigsby and the other players that were drafted from last year's team, I mean, looking at this year's depth chart, week one, I would say it looks better than last year's.
Oh, no, there's no question.
Right? I mean, you say there's no question. I mean, I feel like there are some questions.
Yeah,
I
defensive mean, line. Yeah, right I now, mean, defensive line, you've got more questions. It was more proven last year.
Sure.
With Colby and Derek. And, you know, I mean.
But they have more depth this year.
Right.
I'll say that much. And then they're significantly improved on the offensive line at quarterback, at receiver. And then, you know, defensively, I think they've helped themselves out. Obviously, that's still a position in transition, I'd say, you know. Maybe not quite enough or enough all-SEC type players, but they do return a really good secondary, and we'll see how that front six can hold up.
Yeah, and the questions, I mean, I thought it's not a surprise, but getting the depth chart, which Hugh Freeze promptly disavowed, the depth chart we got from Hugh Freeze.
Well, they didn't just make that up. I'm pretty certain that there's some truth to it and maybe some that's not quite accurate there.
You know, I feel like he at least got to look at it before it went out there. I don't know. Maybe the guy he got final cut. You know, I don't know what the how exactly it was built. We can ask Riley about how they formed that thing. But the right tackle Gunnar Britton, left guard Jeremiah Wright. We'd heard that, you know, over the last couple of weeks that had shaken up a little bit, and maybe Britton had been working at guard, and Tutal Miller, the junior college lineman, was working at right tackle. That's something I'm going to be watching for tomorrow, Brian.
Yeah, exactly. I would not be surprised if it's still Miller at right tackle. We'll see. And we'll see Saturday. They're both going to play.
Yeah, sure. I sort of think that it may start now that we saw that today. It may start the way it was, and then Miller comes in and Gunner moves over, and they see just how things go in the game. But hopefully that's what you get out of the UMass game. You get an opportunity. UMass playing its best game in a few years, I thought, over the weekend. Their transfer quarterback, Pumachan, I mean, looked pretty good. And
Hugh Freeze did not even attempt to say Pumachan's last name. We know because we got it from Andy Burcham.
Yeah, that's right.
Last week, who's going to be saying it on Saturday. But now UMass picks up the win over New Mexico State. Hugh Freeze, very complimentary of the UMass coaching staff.
Especially defensively, talking about how much trouble Don Brown and the UMass defense has given him.
I haven't done my homework yet. Is that true about the – I mean, Hugh Freeze called it an atrocious win-loss record, but a top-10 defense last year?
They statistically were not – I mean, they weren't bad defensively. They weren't great. But, I mean, for an offense that was terrible – they were pretty good.
What needs to be true for someone to say this was a top 10 defense? Do you feel like if they were in the top 10 in
anything,
yards per game,
in
or
anything defensively,
yards per game or scoring? I'd say yards or scoring. You know, if you're top 10 in either one, people say you're a top 10 defense. That's probably I mean, I didn't realize how accomplished they were last year because of that win loss record and the streak that ended.
First road win in what, six?
Yeah,
five or 6 years.
Long a stretch of games on the road that UMass had lost before they went to New Mexico State and pulled off the win on Saturday. So yeah, it's a confident bunch coming to Auburn, and they're a big underdog. But
36.5 I saw today.
What did you think of the question about with having UMass having played a game? Is it an advantage or a disadvantage for Auburn? Let me ask you, what do you think of Hugh's answer, and what do you think of you know?
I think personally? Both sides probably feel like it's a little bit of an advantage. Hugh Freeze is glad to see what their offense is doing because they've made a change there. UMass is probably glad to have a game under their belt and feel like, you know, they've got the first game jitters out of the way. They played a game on the road. So I would think both teams probably feel like, hey, this is good. Auburn's been able to see some, you know, get some things on tape. UMass has been able to, you know, hopefully work some kinks out. See, so I could see the answer being positive either way or negative either way. I mean, the question was asked of Hugh Freeze. He responded with his feeling from Auburn, from his point of view, he's glad to see some of the things they're doing offensively.
Sure, and now they have a little bit to prepare for to prepare for UMass's offense, which I do think is like you said, there's two sides to where I don't know, like. We were talking about the Cal game earlier today. Cal goes to North Texas, Brian. First game of the season on Saturday. Cal goes and plays at North Texas. They are favored by less than a touchdown at North Texas. Mm. Like, is it an advantage for Auburn that Cal has to play what could be a highly competitive game on the road week one instead of a tune-up over a highly overmatched opponent at Berkeley? Like, that's...
I don't know about that. I mean...
I think, actually, to be honest with you, I don't think it necessarily matters, but if I'm an opponent playing Auburn, I'd rather play a decent team and get tested and work out those kinks before I play Auburn.
And you know, UMass just played, you know, they got, I guess, tested by UMass standards in the game against New Mexico State. They got the win, but yeah, that we can get into... the schedule for Saturday and what else is out there that's sort of interesting. But, yeah, UMass coming in 1-0 and Auburn with a what are the things you're most looking forward to on Saturday? Like, what are your big questions? Because you don't want to overreact to a game against UMass when you're talking about an SEC team. But you also you want to be able to draw – you want to be able to take something – from a game like this. So yeah, what are you most interested to see?
Well, on the offensive side of the ball, I want to see how efficient they are. I want to see how well Peyton Thorne, you know, runs the offense, how well the receivers catch the ball and do the little things right, and if this running game is as good as I think it will be, and I think it's going to be a fantastic running game. But maybe I'm wrong. We'll find out.
Find out if you're a sunshine pumper.
And then and then defensively.
I want to say absolutely. The defensive front and the linebacker. The front seven, I feel like the back end is going to be fine. It doesn't mean they won't give up a play every once in a while, but I want to see how the front, especially the front seven, play.
There's clearly concern on the behalf of this year's staff about the front six on defense and how they're going to hold up, how poorly they did against the run during fall camp, you know, but is that because Auburn can run the ball really good, or is that a real issue? We'll see. And then you've also, when you're watching the defense, you got to understand that this is a complete change for these guys. They're going from a pretty passive type style defense, I feel like, to one that's really aggressive.
Right. This should be one that's at least the plan is to generate a lot of turnovers.
Right, and I think that transition is going to have some bumps in the road. I think you're going to see mistakes early. I think you're going to see guys getting in the wrong position and giving up big plays, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think it is a defense that, if it stays healthy, is going to get better as the season goes on. So I think the defense you see this Saturday is going to be not really close to the one maybe you see once we get into mid-October.
All right, that's Brian Matthews. I don't think we introduced everybody. It's
Hello.
Bill, Dan, and Brian. Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Here in the studio as we get started, Drew at the controls, and we will obviously continue looking toward this weekend, looking back at the past weekend, but right now we've got a couple of special guests joining us. I think we've got these conferenced now as we're going to bring up the phones. I think we have Josh from the Auburn Firefighters Association and Brian with us from Troy Bank and Trust, I believe, are with us. Guys, you there?
This is Brian. I'm here.
Josh is here.
How about that? We conferenced everybody. See, we count on Drew to be able to handle everything here technically. Guys, great to have you with us. Got a special event coming up 2 weeks from today.
That's right. We've got the Auburn Firefighters Association is hosting the 5th annual William Buechner Jr. Memorial Golf Tournament, and we've got Troy Bank and Trust as our corporate sponsor this year.
Yeah, Brian, talk about this. Obviously, it's something that we recall Officer Buechner being, you know, killed in the line of duty a few years back, and this coming up, it's an event that is not just a memorial event. I mean, it's providing things for the future of Lee County.
That's correct, Bill. Thank you for the opportunity to be on. The Auburn Firefighters Association, as Josh mentioned, started this 5 years ago, or this will be the fifth. And as a, you know, a corporate citizen in Auburn and Lee County, through some mutual friendships in the Auburn Firefighters Department, the Auburn Firefighters Association, I had a keen interest in seeing if we could connect with the bank and as a bank to be the corporate sponsor for this event. And the association is providing or will provide scholarships to first responders or the children of first responders in Lee County. And that's for first responders who work in Lee County and or who live in Lee County. And they might actually work in an adjoining county. But that's the cause, and it's a very worthy cause. And as you mentioned, Will Buechner, unfortunately, being killed in the line of duty a few years ago, that, you know, just a very sad situation that had to happen in our community. To honor him, we wanted to be a responsible corporate citizen and get on board with the Auburn Firefighters Association to help sponsor this event to maximize what they're able to generate from a scholarship.
So how can people find out more about the event? When and where is it, and where can they go for more information?
The event is being held on September 11th. We've got two flights, a morning and an afternoon flight, and it's being held at the Auburn University Club here in Auburn. Some information is on our Facebook page, the Auburn Firefighters Association page. There's some flyers posted there, but we've been telling people if anybody's interested in registering a team, there's a few spots left. They can email us at auburnfirefightersassociation@gmail.com, all spelled out.
All right, Josh, is that how many spots are available? Is there anything else that folks could do to get involved?
Absolutely. If they're not interested in playing golf, like I said, we have a couple spots left for teams to sign up for. If they're not interested in playing golf, we do have we are taking donations, number one, and number two, we have whole sponsorships, which a lot of local businesses and individuals here locally have already contributed to. But if there's still people that would like to sponsor their business, they can become a whole sponsor for the tournament.
Well, that's great. Folks can find all that info there, or can they contact either one of you guys?
Absolutely, and either one of us. If they contact Brian, he'll make sure that they get the right contact information for us. But again, right now the best thing is the through email, which is auburnfirefightersassociation@gmail.com.
Well, that's great. Hopefully, yeah. Looking forward to it. It's been a very good event for the last few years. This is number five. Man, time flies.
It sure does.
Really appreciate you joining. We will. We'll definitely remind folks and send them in the right direction, because plenty of opportunities to be able to help, and it's going to a great cause. So, hey, Josh, Brian, thanks, guys, for joining us here on the Monday Drive.
Thank you for having us.
All right, that is, the fifth annual William Buechner Jr. Memorial Golf Tournament coming up Monday, September the 11th. Our thanks to Josh and Brian joining us, Josh Datnoff from the Auburn Firefighters Association and Brian Snyder from Troy Bank and Trust. With that, we'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Love for you to join in And you can do it on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn is the sponsor of hour number one. They also are the sponsor of our hotline. And you can get through by calling 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform or ESPNAU.com. Again, all that presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Come on in and join us. We're just underway here on the Monday Drive.
Inspired by the bold bison. Southern
334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. We'd love for you to join in. It is game week. Yeah, today was Hugh Freeze's first weekly press conference, and they'll be on Mondays at 11 o'clock. Who are all the players? Who all did we have? I saw a couple. I mean, I had to leave, and I saw that Luke Deal and Eugene Asante.
Yep.
Come in. Was that it today?
No, I've also got Cam Stutz, too. He came in, last guy in. And I guess Keontae could not make it today, but we will get a chance to go see practice tomorrow afternoon and see how everything lines up, and then it's game time on Saturday, you know. So I'm ready to get rolling.
Yeah, no kidding. 2:30 Saturday. The high is not it's not supposed to be as hot
last
as
I
it was this past
84
weekend.
84 now.
Oh yeah.
Yes, yeah, it's gone down.
Wow. Because yeah. I was worried. I didn't want to sound too happy about it, because I figured it'd probably ease back
right,
up.
Right. It might, but right now it says 84 on my Apple.
Man.
So we'll see.
That's like iPhone. A dream for August.
Yeah, it really
unbelievable.
Is.
I wonder if Coach Freeze still wants it hot for everybody except for the fans.
I think everybody would kind of like a little break from the heat, right?
I mean, because it's going to be I think it's going to be as pretty close, if not a full house.
Yeah.
At the start of the game.
There is a lot of excitement for this game that you wouldn't necessarily expect for a UMass game, right?
It's just for a team else. Coming off, you know, three straight just seasons like Auburn's had. And a UMass team, but it's that fresh start, sort of chance to start over and just see what we've got.
Yep. The new era is about to begin, and I think it's going to be a really exciting one for Auburn. I think Auburn fans should be 100% excited about the season and the improvement Auburn's going to show on the field, and excited about the future of this program under Hugh Freeze and this amazing staff he's got.
What name an offensive player or two that you think will be heavily featured early, like somebody you think plays
I mean, the obvious ones, I think Jarquez Hunter and Damari Austin are going to have great opening games, my opinion.
I think Auburn fans are going to like Rivaldo Fairweather and
Shane
Hooks.
God, yes.
I think they're going to like both of those guys.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, maybe a guy like Amari Kelly, who I wrote about after the press conference today. Who was listed as a co-starter.
That's right.
He got the juice.
You know, he's been running first team all fall, and it's like we didn't notice it as much because he wasn't spectacular. He was just out there getting
dependable,
it done.
Solid. That's what you want. Does everything right on the field, And also, from talking to some players, just a guy who brings a lot of energy to that room. And
the word is juice.
Juice.
We heard that a lot this fall.
That was my headline.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the new buzzword in college football, juice.
Yes,
that's really interesting. With
bringing the juice,
with the second year receivers who, in their own ways, have made moves. Camden
Jay.
Brown. Yep. Well, Camden Brown has had.
Yeah, but Jay Fair and Amari really have.
Yeah, and Camden's just been banged up.
Camden's had excuses, but I mean, with Jay Fair and Amari Kelly, I mean, we've seen them consistently, and there have been injuries at other, like, you know what I mean? Like there have been injuries to other receivers that have opened that up a little. But I wonder how much of Jay Fair's emergence is related to Javarius Johnson's unavailability. And
Javarius apparently was available early on when he was having a good fall, and we still were hearing Jay.
And we were still hearing about Jay and Caleb Burton. I mean, they sound like, and that's tapered off a little bit of late, but Caleb Burton, I think you'll still see some of him as well. So, the new crop of receivers, and even some of the guys you didn't see all that much of last year, the three second-year players, like that's the thought that any one of those players, and maybe even more than one of those players, can take a major step and be a big part of the passing game. Like, that's an exciting development.
Yeah, those are three guys that were not – I mean, I guess Cannon Brown was fairly heralded, but, you know, overall they weren't, you know, considered a – they were guys you hoped would step up and be good players, and they seem to be showing that this fall.
334-321-1390. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Keith is up first. Hey, Keith.
Hey, I just wanted to ask y'all a little question. It don't really have pertain to this ball game coming up, but it does pertain to new coaching staff, I guess. I wanted to see if y'all's answers were similar to mine, but just like going back to Pat Dye, which two coaches won the most games they weren't favored in, and which two lost the most games they were favored in?
I'd say the answer to one of those would be Tommy Tuberville. Well, he'd be an answer in both. He probably won more games than he wasn't supposed to win, and the loss probably because he coached longer, but he also lost some games that he wasn't supposed to lose.
And Coach Dye was in a lot of those games both ways too.
Yeah, so. And I don't know that he lost a ton of games that he wasn't supposed to lose.
After
his first year.
Right.
I don't think the issue with Malzahn was that he was losing games he was favored in necessarily. I think the issue was he wasn't favored in games against Alabama, Georgia, and LSU.
He beat Alabama though.
He did,
well.
But when people, I mean, when people pointed out his win loss record specifically against those
LSU
three,
and Georgia were the ones he really struggled
but
against.
But even all three of them, it's like, okay, well you're not gonna be favored against those teams because they're, you know, on paper they usually have better rosters.
Right. Yeah, I had basically the same. Bowden and Tuberville for won the most games that they weren't favored in, and I had Malzahn and Dye for losing the most because Dye was favored in basically all of them or most of them, but also Tuberville would fit in there too.
Mm-hmm.
I was just gonna also ask: is Auburn looking at the Alexander City quarterback? I was told by a local guy that they were, and I was just checking on that.
Jason mentioned him the other day, and just I don't know if Auburn's looking at him, you know, strongly, but I mean but he mentioned his name the other day, so it means he's somebody that's on the radar.
Right. All right. Well, thank you a lot.
Appreciate it, Keith. All right, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. 29 minutes away from 5 o'clock. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
And 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Before we get back to the phones, some sad news to pass along. Somebody who you've heard through the years calling in, and if you've been to any Opelika football games over the years, Hootie Jackson was there always. He would call in and He'd had some interesting questions usually if we'd heard or talked about, and was a loyal listener to the show, and we just found out just before the show that Hootie passed away Saturday, some complications after hip surgery. Keep Hootie in your thoughts. His visitation for Hootie will be Thursday from 5 to 7 at Jeffcoat, and then services at the Opelika First Baptist Church Friday on 3 o'clock. So, keep Hootie's family in your thoughts and prayers. And we'll miss Hootie. Miss hearing from him.
Yeah, I don't want to say I always loved hearing from Hootie because because he could infuriate you.
He could. That's what callers are supposed to do.
I know,
sometimes.
But he made this show more fun, and for folks who knew him well, and for folks who loved him, it's tremendously sad news to hear about Tamir and Hootie, and all the best to his loved ones.
334-321-1390. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline. Let's get to it And Spectre is up next. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, guys. Sorry to hear about Hootie. I kind of enjoyed it over the years. But anyway, let me get to my question, Brian. I keep hearing about the offensive line. I thought we were set, and all of a sudden now I hear some movement going around. Is it going to be a set offensive line before Saturday?
Oh, I'm sure it's already set. Exactly how that set looks, we're not 100% sure. Today's depth chart that came out, which Hugh Freeze did not endorse, had Gunnar Britton as the starting right tackle and Jeremiah Wright as the starting left guard. And, of course, over the last couple of weeks, Coach Freeze and several players have talked about Tutal Miller, the JUCO transfer, and how I believe the quote was, can't keep him off the field, working at right tackle, and the possibility of Britton moving over left guard. So we'll see exactly how they're lined up when we go to practice tomorrow afternoon. And then we'll see what it looks like Saturday in the game. But I would be surprised, because of the nature of the game, if Auburn does get a lead, we'll probably see a lot of offensive linemen play, but in some different combinations too.
Yeah, I think what they want, Spectre, is to come up with the five best guys, have the five best on the field, and then know who number six is. And if number six, if Gunnar Britton's one of the five, and they can play him at guard, and Tutal Miller's one of the five, that gives them a chance to do that. And then if one player, if they need to make a sub for an injury or for whatever, then Britton can move back out to tackle. Then you plug your next best guy in there at guard. So I don't think it's a bad situation. I think this is a good one because they really, really like Izavia and Tutal.
Yeah, and Jeremiah Wright may be one of the five best now. I mean, he's a guy I've been plugging for a couple of years now, just how physical he is out there on the field.
Yeah, okay. So really we're talking about maybe six guys that are going to be rotating out all through the game, you think?
No, I don't think that's how it's going to work when you play against, Texas A&M and Georgia. But I think for this opening game, and if it goes the way I think it will go, as a lot of games would normally go against a team like UMass, who's solid and good and they have to play well, et cetera, et cetera. But if Auburn can get the lead and things are comfortable, I think you will see a lot of different combinations and you'll see the backups play. Yeah. But I think Auburn has more than six good players that are capable of being starters. I think it's more like eight or nine. That's how highly I think of this offensive line and the job that Hugh Freeze and Jake Thornton have done rebuilding this group. I just think they've done a tremendous job.
It sounds like Gunnar Britton is going to start no matter what. And granted, you don't want to say no matter what about these things, but I would say it appears like Gunnar Britton is a starter. The question is, does he start at right tackle, in which case – Jeremiah Wright, who's the starter on the depth chart that we were given earlier today, Jeremiah Wright would be your starter at left guard. He was competing with Tate Johnson at that position for much of fall camp. If they decide Gunnar Britton at left guard gives them the best chance to win, then it's the junior college transfer Izavia and Tutal Miller. Jake Thornton loves Tutal Miller. This is something that dates back to when he was recruiting Tutal Miller to come to Ole Miss last season before Jake Thornton came to Auburn. This is a guy he really believes in, could be a high-level college tackle. It's just a matter of, is he ready yet? He's coming from junior college. It's a big adjustment. If he's ready and they've got three guys that could be starting at tackle and they feel like one of them could slide over to guard and that gives them the best chance to win, I mean, that's an endorsement of Tutal Miller, but it's also a sign maybe this offensive line is ahead of schedule.
Here's how highly I think about how Jake and Freeze have rebuilt this offensive line. I think the current backups, at least according to the depth chart, Jaden Muskrat at left tackle, Tate Johnson left guard, Connor Lewis center. They got Jaleel Urban at right guard. That could be Dylan Senda possibly. And then Izavia Miller at right tackle. I think that group would be a better starting group this year than what Auburn would have had if the previous staff was still here. That's how good. That's how well I think this staff has overhauled that group of players in that position.
So it sounds like coming out of this game, we're going to have a set offensive line going into California, right?
That's what you hope. I mean, you don't want to sub too much in the offensive line. You want to try to build that chemistry,
right?
And you hope you get out to comfortable enough leads that you can play some other.
And if it's close between Gunner and Izavian and
Jeremiah
Wright, then okay, give those guys a bunch of snaps against UMass, maybe against California, maybe against who's the third game?
Samford.
Samford, thank you. And then make your final decision before that week of the Texas A&M game.
Right, and Spectre, and I would add to that, when you say the offensive line's set, I mean, that's it's set until somebody struggles or gets hurt.
Right.
Right, so, and especially when you
feel... I understand
when
that.
You feel good about your depth, you know, maybe they'll go to the bench or the bullpen a little bit earlier. But, no, I think they would love to have fairly clear starters going into Cal. I think that would be a great situation. I just don't know if that's how it's going to play out.
Okay, guys. Have a nice evening.
Appreciate the call, Spectre.
Good stuff, Spectre.
334-321-1390. We've talked about it a couple of times. Yep. Hugh Freeze not endorsing, as you said, Brian, the depth chart. But hey, that's today. That's nothing compared to some other things. I mean, today.
Yeah.
Nick Saban pretty much said depth chart, Schmidt chart. He's not going to do any more depth charts.
Right.
He said depth charts are for you guys. Talking about the media,
it is true.
Well,
and the fans,
it is.
Yeah,
but it's also something that, and Nick Saban at least was more honest than most coaches. He didn't just say, "I don't want anybody to have any info, including the opponent." He did say it can affect some players the wrong way when they don't see themselves at the top. And these days with the transfer portal, you probably don't want to put a depth chart out because everybody's not, unless you just have everybody or.
Right, especially if you're Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, et cetera.
And you've got some of those guys who won't be starting.
Right, who would probably be, if you had a real depth chart, would probably be third team, but they're former five stars, right? They're not going to tell them that. They're going to tell them they're in the mix, they're in the rotation, they're battling for this,
Right. They're five guys in the second string, after the starters.
Slash. Yeah.
I do wonder how much of the, a guy's going to bail on the season if he's not in the right place in the depth chart right now. I wonder how real that is. At the same time, we'll find out because, some guys on Saturday may not get on the field and they may decide.
Well, when they're playing Middle Tennessee, I got a feeling they'll get on the field and then the coach can say, see? We're going to play you just as much as the starter.
And then
the next thing in parentheses where you can't read is going to say in a blowout.
The whole point of the transfer portal windows was that you wouldn't have players deciding, or one of the goals of the transfer portal windows was that you wouldn't have players deciding in the middle of the season, all right, I'm going into the transfer portal, that's enough for me this year. Now, we still had that last year,
right,
despite transfer portal windows, because when a player decides – I think when a relationship is broken, one side or the other decides, hey, let's just move on. Let's wait for the window to open in a month. And also, if a coach is fired at midseason, players can go into the portal immediately in that situation. So, I mean, it's not, but we don't have, like, before the portal, we had situations, before the portal windows, we had situations where players were jumping in midseason on a more frequent basis, and they've taken steps to avoid that. But you're right, you might lose some of these highly touted guys early on if they're not on the field.
Well, you think about this, schools just getting started at some places, you could have players, they may not be able to go into the portal, but they could drop out and go ahead and save themselves and be looking. And, maybe have an extra year.
Auburn had that last year before Brian Harsin was let go. I believe the ones who come to mind were Landon King and Chick Dawson, who decided they were going to get ready to jump into the portal.
Announcing that they will be entering the portal.
And they didn't have a redshirt year either. Like, they'd already used their redshirt year the year before. So they were just deciding, all right,
I'm out of here.
Yeah, they were.
We wish them nothing but the best.
Taking their talents elsewhere after the season was over, and
that was Gus. That was Gus's best line.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
One of them. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we need to get to. It was consistent.
Yes,
he was always consistent with that.
Always.
It took a couple of years before we realized. Oh, that's what he says every time. 334-321-1390. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join us here on the Monday Drive.
Cole here from University Ace Home.
On ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews, and we'd love for you to join in. Your thoughts? I mean, anything really catch your eye over the weekend? Did you watch much football over the weekend, bro?
I watched a little bit. Of course, I watched Premier League. And if you didn't watch Liverpool yesterday, you just missed an incredible comeback.
It was unbelievable.
I'm still smiling.
It's not the football.
I screamed, ran around my house. It was just incredible.
I listened to some of the Notre Dame Navy game till I caught
some of that, but I turned it off after they were just killing.
Yeah, I mean it was absolutely a blowout.
UMass, I watched US a little bit. UMass, Mexico State.
I missed the most fun part, the fourth quarter.
I did too. I didn't see the fourth quarter. Yeah.
Shout out to the newest bowl subdivision program in the state, right?
Jacksonville State.
Yeah. Getting the win over UTEP, game sealing interception. To wrap that one up, they are they're 1-0, 17-14 win over UTEP.
Vandy is the only unbeaten team in the conference. The only team with a win in the conference.
That game was delayed, right?
It was delayed.
Yeah, did Hawaii get?
Hawaii had the ball with a chance to tie. I mean,
yeah, Vandy had a 21-point lead early in the fourth quarter. Hawaii storms back, nearly tied the game, but could not get even with the Doors, who are 1-0. You're right, Vanderbilt, the SEC's first team up.
They're on top of the SEC standings right now.
Enjoy it, Doors. Alabama A&M.
That's right.
When do they get the extra bye week? I know it's coming up at some point for Vanderbilt. Having played in
sure.
week zero. Oh yeah, they take. So Vanderbilt takes 2 weeks between.
They get 2 weeks?
No, that's not right, is it? No,
that would
no,
be
no,
that
no,
would
no,
be
no,
that
no.
would not be
no,
good.
No, they take a, okay. So Vanderbilt gets a bye after Georgia on the 14th of October.
Who do they have the next week?
They have Ole Miss on the 28th, and then they have a bye week after the 11th game of the season. They have a bye week, and then they play Tennessee.
Oh, so they got an extra week to prepare for the Vols.
They have an extra week before their – now, an extra – a bye week before the season finale.
That's good. That's fun. I mean, that's happened. We remember those days, right? Auburn having an open day before
2 weeks before the Iron Bowl. Most of my life, I feel like it's been that way, right?
It would be like if Auburn – I guess that would be the offer, right? Like if Auburn had played New Mexico State Saturday at Jordan-Hare Stadium, and the trade-off is you get a bye week before the Iron Bowl. Like if you're willing to, you know what I mean? Because that's what Vanderbilt did. Vanderbilt played they played an out of conference game week zero instead of playing an out of conference game the week before Thanksgiving.
I wonder, there's some coaches that would rather play somebody to just keep in the rhythm, and there are others that would rather have that extra time to do nothing but focus extra time on your rival
And heal up after a conference, a pretty grueling conference schedule.
I'm excited about some week one games. We've got Florida, Nebraska here. I mean, Florida, Utah here.
Florida, Utah, Florida
Thursday
State,
night.
LSU.
Yeah, that's Sunday, I think. Sunday night, is that
right?
Yeah,
that's Sunday, I believe.
And I think there's a Monday night game, but it's not very good.
There is a Monday night. Duke, yeah.
Yeah, why? They couldn't find a better opponent for Clemson.
It's an ACC game. Duke's not as bad as they've been. Duke's been okay.
Okay.
Clemson.
And people wonder if Clemson is – are they going to be Clemson again?
Clemson a 13-point favorite against –
you can do worse. I mean, that's one where, I don't have to watch every second of it. But if it's good, I'll keep watching.
Where is the the North Carolina-South Carolina game in Charlotte?
Yes, it is. That's an interesting one, too.
Who's winning our pick 'em this year, guys?
I don't know what was the thing you wrote about with Stoltz last year?
That he cheated to win.
How? How did he?
Oh,
cheat?
I just wondered if you had some facts there.
I knew you and I were doing okay. I finished third.
I don't
you
know how
second.
He did it. He's real sneaky. You got to watch him.
I think we just finished like a game or two back of him. So
the integrity of the entire thing has been called into question. Stop the count.
I like yours is much better than the one Doug keeps dragging me into. I don't like picking against.
It gets too complicated. Make it easy.
Yeah, and he throws in something where I have to add. I'm giving this one. This one has more value than the other, and I'm doing it against the spread. And it's like, nah, I don't need to do that. I'm bad enough just straight up. But we'll start doing the picking contest for Brian this week.
So West Virginia Penn State is on NBC, and I was like, when did they get in the business of non-Notre Dame
How did they get there?
I don't know. I wonder what the occasion is.
I guess since Notre Dame was out of the country, we were going to go with a substitute.
I'm like, yeah.
Is that what it is?
It's at Penn State, so it's a Big Ten game. So maybe I think the Big Ten in their new package like have three different – it's got Fox, ESPN, and NBC. Is that right? NBC. Something like that?
Huh. Did not know that.
I think that's
right. We'll look into that over the break. We're halfway done here on the Monday Drive. Love to hear from you at hour number two.
Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive at espnau.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody doing all right. I mean, just sort of an overcast afternoon. Pleasant. Very cool compared to what we've had here. So hope everybody doing well on this Monday. Hope you had a good weekend. Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio with Drew at the controls here as we head into hour number two of the first show of game week. Opening week of the season for the Auburn Tigers for most of college football. There were a few games. We talked about some of them in hour number one.
Show your gold.
Yeah, Vandy with a win, game that was delayed, weather delayed in a facility that is being worked on.
They are literally a work in progress. Yeah, they are.
You're talking about the scoreboard on cranes.
Yeah, yeah. That was wild.
Yeah, no, but you know, at least they're getting the football in. So shouts to them, and hopefully, you know, that's a staff that's easy to root for. So hopefully, they can get things going in the right direction. Like Brian said, there's some interesting football this Saturday.
No question. I mean, the official opening weekend, week one, has some really interesting ball games. I mean, and quite a few involving SEC schools.
Yeah, Florida, Utah, Thursday night is going to be, I mean, there are rumors about the availability of Utah star quarterback Cam Rising, whether or not he's going to be able to go. And I think,
that's something that
would improve Florida's chances of going on the road and picking up a big win. Brian, have you watched, I swear there's a point to this. Did you watch the Florida documentary on Netflix?
No, I got turned up. People were talking about it so much online, I decided that it was just a piece to make Urban Meyer look good, so I refused to watch it now.
So my conspiracy theory is that Urban Meyer agreed to participate in a documentary that like sort of laundered his reputation because he wants his job back at Florida, and a documentary like this could like set the stage for people thinking because that job might be open. There are other high profile jobs. I know some people think that that he would be a top choice at Texas if the Sark thing took a nosedive this year. Like there's that school of thought as well. But yeah, I mean we said this when Auburn was looking for a coach. If Urban Meyer is healthy and motivated and able to do what he's done in the past, there are very few coaches you could hire who are more likely to succeed. It's just a matter of, is that what he is anymore? Like is it something that he used to be? Like I don't know. What do you think, Bill? Do you think Urban Meyer has Urban Meyer coached his last game of college football?
Probably not. But I don't know that
he's not going to a program unless it gives him like a chance to win big, right? Like he's not the kind of guy.
Well,
who's gonna...
I, that's the way I feel right now. But how desperate will he be to prove that he's still got it? Would he go somewhere that maybe in another year or so would he settle for something less?
I wonder if he's just willing to just be on TV, having people believe.
I think he worries about losing the luster, him not being. Having the star power if he's not out there coaching.
I would be stunned to see him take a job at a place that doesn't give him like a real shot at winning. Like because he's been very careful before.
He has
about
but he's not getting
spots.
But none of us are getting any younger.
That's true.
So, I mean,
but I you know what? And if there's a place that would hire him now, maybe it is a desperate Florida program if this Napier thing.
Let things get off to a rocky start here. Let the Utes spank the Gators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Florida get off to like a 1-3 start. Yeah, they may.
Yeah, that's getting back to sort of the Florida-Utah game that we were talking about early on. But, no, that's an interesting one. I'm going to try to pay attention to Cal North Texas. Like, that's a – I mean, besides the fact that Cal's taken a trip to North Texas in week one, you don't see a lot of whatever we're calling the Power Five now, Power Five against
right.
Against
group of five on the road, right?
Conference programs, but it's also it's a chance to see Auburn's opponent before Auburn makes that trip to Berkeley in week two.
Auburn has two North Texas players on its roster, Jair Shorter and the
Larry
linebacker.
Nixon.
Yeah, Larry Nixon.
That's right, Larry Nixon and Jair Shorter, both North Texas transfers.
Yeah, so if they can hang with Cal without those guys,
yeah.
And you think maybe those guys will get a little info on from their former teammates?
Could be, yeah.
About what they saw there in the Cal game? We'll see. All right. We'd love to hear from you here in hour number two of The Drive. Hour number two is brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And we welcome your calls on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And the number to get you through is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast. Available however you listen to podcasts, go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center.
I was going to say, we were talking about SEC games. There are some other good ones. You know, you mentioned Florida at Utah. Virginia at Tennessee could be interesting. Maybe not.
Well, you want to see if Joe Milton, you know,
right,
comes out and plays the way a lot of people expect. He does have a strong
which
arm.
Which he might very well do. But then Saturday night, you got North Carolina at South Carolina, which could be a really good game.
That in Charlotte.
And LSU Florida State on Sunday night as well.
Sunday night, yep.
All right, let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline to get things started here in hour number two. And Michael is up first. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Bill. This is not what I called about, but since you guys brought it up, who would plot to put up with the drama queen or king that Urban Meyer is?
Well, like Dan said, a desperate program that expects to win a lot more than they would be currently.
But Dan also said he's not going to go any place where he can't win big time. But that's you know what? I'm glad we dodged Lane Kiffin and Deion for whatever that was worth. And we got a guy that hopefully will be at Auburn for 12 to 15 years.
You sure got a guy that is a better fit than the other two guys you just mentioned.
Absolutely. And as far as that show about Urban Meyer, I was going to give it a look, but I've read two or three reviews that says, of course, this may have been the agreement of some of you have said, apparently it dodges everything that was semi-controversial while he was in Florida. I mean, for somebody like me, the thing I'd like to hear about, number one on my list would be, how was Aaron Hernandez when he was at Florida? And apparently they don't touch that subject at all.
Yeah, and to me, and again, having not watched it, and with the reviews from folks I trust, I don't know if I'm, you know, it's high on my list of things to watch. But if you take a lot of that away, what was all that special about the three-year run? I mean, yeah, they won two championships in 3 years,
that's special, but
we've seen programs have.
Yeah, I've seen a lot win 2 and 3 years.
I guess that's true. I mean, we've seen who's
Georgia doing, and Alabama have.
You don't do four-part documentaries on.
Yeah, it just seems like the most compelling stuff to me is they were able to win despite all that stuff going on off the field. And if you take all that stuff off the field and just make it about the winning, to me it becomes much less interesting.
Well, whoever put this documentary together is going to go on my list that is led by Mark Schlabach, which is put him on ignore. Anyway, that's not why I called. I got a question about this depth chart that came out today.
Yeah.
And the first part of that question, can anybody of you tell me where I can get a printable roster that's not 17 pages long to take to the game Saturday? Because this is one of those games without a roster, you're not going to be able to tell.
You're right, especially with all the new players that there are right now.
You can go to Auburn's website and click on the schedule for football, and under the UMass schedule, say Auburn Notes. And that'll give you a PDF version of the notes. And
that's
all,
right.
And
that fits on one page.
Right. You can either get the depth chart you can print out or
yeah,
or
it
roster.
Is today. It is. Yeah. It was updated. As a matter of fact, I noticed a couple of weight changes today.
Oh, did you
that
really?
They updated. Yeah. So you can go to auburntigers.com, and you can find that.
Okay. Right. The question I called in about is this linebacker that jumped from Alabama to us 2 or 3 years ago, I think he was from Mobile, and we were so excited about
Robert Woodyard.
Him.
Yeah. 2 years. He's just a redshirt freshman. So, yeah.
He's got it on the depth chart.
No, but, I mean, they did mostly a two deep. So he's in the mix to play.
He's a guy I think they liked what they saw this spring. He's still learning, and this is not a simple defense that Ron Roberts runs. And you got to remember,
okay,
now, the guys
he has
that,
not
the,
turned he has not turned into a Dylan Brooks or a Lee Hunter. Then
no, he's not.
No,
no, they like Robert Woodyard, but look at the guys at the top of the depth chart, and they're guys that have been in college football for a long time. You've got Austin Keys, Larry Nixon play, you know, Larry, you've got Austin Keys and Larry Nixon on one side, and then Cam Riley and Eugene Asante. Yeah. So every one of those guys has been in college football. This is at least their fourth year for all four of those guys.
All upperclassmen, yep.
So to sum it up, he's happy and they're happy with him.
I think, yeah, they like him. He's dropped a little weight. You know, he's a guy that missed a lot of his senior year in high school with an injury.
And last year
right.
at Auburn, while he was redshirting, he was banged up a lot and couldn't really participate. So this spring was really his coming out party, so to speak. So I think he's a guy that like his potential.
Brian, are they still happy with Wesley Steiner and his progress?
I mean, I think you can expect Wesley to have a solid year.
Coach Aldridge, when we got to talk to him, was complimentary of Wesley Steiner, but also like I think it was acknowledged by Hugh Freeze that Wesley Steiner's been battling some injuries. You know, I think he may have missed both scrimmages. So I think it's more about being held back physically than whether or not he's able to produce.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Michael. Good hearing from you. 334-321-1390.
Can I shout something out? Because I just got this, and I would, if I were actually on this list, I would have led the show with it. But earlier today, Auburn released Auburn University released the 2023 20 under 40, which is the Alumni Association showcases some young alumni who have accomplished extraordinary accomplishments. Significant personal, professional achievements, distinguished service to others. One of my closest friends, Chloe Malas-Mazza, who is now on the Today Show on NBC. She jumped over from CNN to the Today Show last week as part of her move to NBC News. She's been recognized as one of the 20 as one of the 20 under 40. As has Auburn class of 05, Ben Obamanu. From the Harvard College of Business, former Auburn wide receiver, and a name I recognize, Britt Bowen, class of 13 College of Liberal Arts, one of the guys doing color commentary and providing excellent work on the Auburn Auburn Sports Network. But yeah, I wanted to say congratulations to Chloe, one of my pals, and also we've all had positive interactions with Ben Obamanu, and I guess Britt Bowen as well.
And
Britt is no, it's so cool. And that I guess and Britt receiving the award, making the list, I think also allows us to point out the exciting.
That's right. Well, you mentioned Andy Burcham will be in tomorrow, and of course we are thrilled once again that the Auburn Network is back. The Auburn Sports Network is back with the Auburn Network and its stations.
That's right. Auburn University football, men's basketball, and Tiger Talk are on Wings 94.3 here in the Auburn-Opelika area. That's where you can hear the game this Saturday. That's where you can hear Tiger Talk this Thursday back at its somewhat traditional home, right? Going to go to Baumhauer's there for this Thursday's edition of Tiger Talk. Women's basketball and baseball will be on AU 100 So Auburn Sports, the Auburn Sports Network, available right here on Wings 94.3 and AU 100. And like you said, Bill, yeah, thrilled that we've got the Auburn Sports Network right here on our family of stations.
16 minutes after 5 o'clock, we will go ahead and get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in. Again, 334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline as we continue with the Monday Drive.
Robert Pig here with Pig Bob.
Part of the drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. 20 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Got a, I would guess, game week rundown coming up tomorrow, right?
Yeah, busy day tomorrow. I'm writing a couple stories for the morning. And then, of course, we'll get together for our podcast, the rundown, game week. And then, of course, we'll be out there tomorrow afternoon to watch the first part of practice and maybe have some video and such.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know if we should, like, expect that to continue, but that's
pretty cool.
A bit surprising.
During game week is not something you usually get. And I should also mention, since we are on Auburn Station, that Griffin Speaks was mentioned by Coach Freeze and at least one player
he
today.
He is on the depth chart. He is number two at one of the safety spots.
Yep, how about that? So hometown kid, played safety and quarterback for Auburn High School, went to Baylor for several years, got a degree there. I think he's an academic All-American.
You asked
back at Auburn.
You asked him about Griffin Speaks, right?
I did.
Wasn't that? I mean, it was a good question. I'm glad you did, because that is a guy that we have not. I mean, especially for the local angle, like, we have not talked about. The push he's made as one of the more visible walk-ons, right?
Yeah.
On this team, like, I don't know.
Oh, he's probably as visible a walk-on as there is. Not, I mean,
is Sean Jackson on scholarship?
Yes, he is.
Because I was going to say Sean Jackson would be be the lead competition for most, the walk-on.
I mean, I guess.
Walk-ons don't necessarily make the depth chart very often. He did, and that
maybe
that
on
tells
special teams as a snapper or something is about it.
Right.
I think you got a couple there.
Quite a few scholarship players didn't make this depth chart.
You're absolutely right. I mean, so Griffin number two. I had a question for you. Dan and I were trying to figure this out. I was looking at the depth chart, and again, I was sort of matching it to what I'd had, and things did. Tell me what position is WC?
Okay, Jason Caldwell checked into that, and it turns out that was a mistake. It was supposed to be.
That's basically the strong safety.
Was it WS? I forget
weak
what he said it was supposed
maybe?
To be.
Well, because there's a free safety, there's an FS, and then there's a WC, and I was like, WC.
I think it was WS for wide safety or something like that. I don't know what it was, but it was not supposed to be WC.
I wondered what Dan and I was going, I got no answer for this WC.
I've seen Rover and Monster listed on depth charts instead of free safety or strong safety before, but I'd never come across WC. I know they're also doing the backside corner.
It's actually boundary corner
boundary
and field.
Field.
Yeah, boundary,
field
yeah.
corner.
Field corner and boundary corner.
I knew what every – I mean, Auburn does – they're a little more detailed. I mean, you see, the jack and field and boundary, and me. You got Will and Mike, which is the weak and middle linebackers. Yep. And so I had everything figured out, except I could not figure – is that where Zion Puckett is?
He's at the strong safety. You're right. He wasn't.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's what I thought was strong safety.
Yep.
It's like the bigger safeties are at WC.
Yep. Zion, Marquise Gilbert, who has put on some weight now, and Terrence Love, of course, who came in as a big hit. And there's a true freshman on the depth chart, which, again, that's
right.
Impressive. One thing we have not talked about, it might be one of the biggest surprises, Reed Hughes listed as a starting long snapper
over Jacob Quattlebaum,
who was, I think, a 2 or 3 year starter returning.
Yeah, he's at least a 2 year returning starter.
So we'll see. We'll see how that lines up on Saturday. But that's just how it looks here. And I would last like to mention that I will have a story on Griffin Speaks tomorrow morning, AuburnSports.com.
Oh, that's cool. I was talking with Scott Bagwell, of course, who called his games and was talking about him. And obviously, I mean, a guy that. Moved to quarterback and was really good.
Yes, he was.
For a very good Auburn High team at quarterback before he walked on to Baylor. And his dad, Tim, played here.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to that. So, nice local flavor. And nice to see, I mean, he's had a really good fall. And, I mean, he's been he was a big contributor at Baylor on special teams.
He was, and talking to Eugene Asante about him, just said he just knows everything you could ever know about the defense, and when he's back there at safety, he gets everybody lined up in the right spots.
He played for Ron Roberts the last few years.
Exactly, yep.
Yeah, so that's a big advantage for him, and great to have him back here and an opportunity to get out on the field Saturday.
A couple of players, was it, Bill, was it your question about injuries?
Yeah, I just wondered about anybody that might not be able to be out there. And he started with like three guys that it sounded like maybe questionable, then he moved into some other guys that are banged up a little
right.
bit. And let's see, he started with, who was the first name he mentioned?
He mentioned Robbie Ashford and Nehemiah Pritchett.
Robbie was an oblique, but it sounded like Robbie's gonna play.
Yep. And Nick Mardner and Jalen McLeod and
JD Ryan is what he said was the very that was the very first name he mentioned. And you know, we've seen him, you know, unable to go through some of the practices out there, so that doesn't
he's missed
really
a lot of time,
me, right?
Spring and fall, so.
So as a result, that's where Champ Anthony has really been able to make a move.
Also listed on the depth chart there, along with another true freshman, Tyler Scott, right?
Colton Hood and
is that right?
And Kay and Lee are at one. I think they're bracketed at one corner at number two.
Yeah, you're right. It wasn't Tyler Scott. It was Colton Hood, my bad.
Yeah. Of the defensive players he listed, like McLeod would be the one that you're probably thinking was going to play the most.
Mm-hmm. That's the one I think a lot of folks wanted to see and you know hoped he was going to be somebody that would really provide a big rush from the edge.
And I wonder if they'll take it easy with Robbie Ashford if they don't need, like if it's not a situation where they need to get him in there.
That could also be, that could be a sort of a double-edged sword. Like, we're going to rest him, we're going to get him healthy, and then Cal won't have any idea what we have in mind.
Exactly. I mean, you don't know. I mean, maybe they decide Robbie Ashford doesn't need to play that first week, or he only needs to play if it's a situation where the game is competitive and Peyton Thorne is unavailable or something. Like, I don't know if, you know, maybe with now a question about him physically as well, if they take it easy.
One thing of interest there is Robbie and Holden are listed as second teamers, so mm-hmm. co-second teamers there, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. 334-321-1390, back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Sherry is next. Hey, Sherry.
Hey, I was wondering how do you guys anticipate it looking with Free? How's Free going to play Peyton and Robbie? How do y'all see the offense? How much do you see Robbie going in? How do you think he'll use him? Can you elaborate on that?
Well, I think if Robbie is healthy, which we're not sure about, he has that oblique strain, I guess, this week. I think he would play a pretty good bit against UMass. If the game goes as you would expect it to, if Auburn has a good lead, and probably get a good amount of playing time in the first three games at Cal and then back home against Samford. But I'm not so sure, you know, how that's going to move into the following 3 weeks.
Texas A&M,
when you got at A&M.
Georgia.
And I think it really depends on how healthy he is and how well he executes the offense and how much Coach Freeze and his assistants trust him to run things.
I do think that Hugh Freeze is really intrigued just by Robbie's athleticism.
Right.
I mean, he has said multiple times he's the best athlete he's ever had at quarterback.
And Hugh Freeze does not – I mean, when he has a quarterback, generally speaking, that's the quarterback who plays, and especially, you know, like you don't see later in the season situations where multiple guys did, you know, had a lot of pass attempts for Hugh Freeze. He has brought in players who were – second or third on the depth chart at quarterback to get the run game going in his past. We talked about the year Bo Wallace was the quarterback and they used Randall Mackey and Brunetti as sort of running options at quarterback. So, you know, I don't know how much you'll actually see Robbie. I think that even if Peyton Thorne is playing well, there could be the option of going to Robbie as something to, you know, to help boost the run game if they feel like they need him. Like if they feel like that's the best thing for the offense.
Appreciate the call, Sherry. We will get to our bottom of the hour break. A half an hour to go. Still plenty of time for you to join us here on the Monday Drive.
Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final 25 minutes here on this Monday afternoon. Let's get right back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Tex is up next. Hey, Tex.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing on this game week Monday?
Doing all right, Tex. Good to hear from you.
Good. Your volume or your feed is a little bit low through the phone lines, by the way. So a couple things. An oblique is very similar to a high ankle sprain. If not taken care of, it lingers for a long time. Yep. Because it affects you in almost everything that you do. From sleeping to breathing to sneezing to throwing a football. I heard the question a minute ago from Shelley. My guess would be if Robbie's not really, really, really ready, I'd be surprised to see him more than one series.
Oh, you're right.
And Holden comes in the game. I don't think you can risk if he's as valuable as what it seems to have been talked about coming out of camp, you can't allow that injury to linger.
Brian noted, I mentioned it on the air, but I mean that when you look at the depth chart, which again Hugh Freeze did not endorse,
right?
It lists Robbie and Holden as the number two
co-backups.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean that thing. Throwing, warming up, anything mm-hmm. he does, twisting, moving, breathing, just like a high ankle sprain you're always walking on. So that's a lingering injury, and if he's going to be a valuable part of the offense, I don't think they take too many chances with him in this game. I would be surprised.
Makes sense.
I would look to see more Holden than anything else. So then on the defensive side, I heard your discussion about the W used as the safety. There's a local team here that uses a WS as a safety. It's a Wham safety. So
That's
the term they use. It's a bigger guy normally.
Well, this is a bigger guy. It's where Zion Puckett is. Support.
80s pop tribute.
There you go.
Wham.
No, Dan, you just ruined the whole thing for me.
I don't see George Michael out there as my big safety.
Careless whisper safety.
Next thing
you
tell me, it's a Rod Stewart song. So, anyway. But that's what they use. So I just called to check with him.
Maybe. I mean, we'll try to find that out. I just saw that today and went, I have no clue.
Tex,
what that could be.
Getting back to the quarterback issue just real quick, too. I also, you know, there Hugh Freeze has the history of using – there have been seasons where he's gone to the bench at quarterback to get the run game going. We see that less and less. We've talked about avoiding predictability. Like I do understand the people who think, you know, if Peyton Thorne's playing well, it's tough to take the ball out of his hands and tough to utilize other quarterbacks when you have someone who's effective.
I agree. I will tell you though, Robbie's threat with pulling the ball and running opens up things, and it's been my understanding, just off the record, that he's been more accurate in the mid-range throws than he was last year, but he's still struggling deep. But the mid-range and the slants and those double moves become available when you got a guy when they're peeking in the backfield to see if he's going to pull the ball and run with it. So if he is a little more accurate at mid-range, I think that may be something of value that would work for an offense in certain situations. So, hey, Hugh Freeze has had great offenses. I'm not going to tell you. Whatever he decides, I think is going to end up working. It always has. He's always been able to move the football. So,
yeah.
Should be interesting. By the way, Bill, I was going to call. I heard you talk about the deep snapper flip on the depth chart.
Right.
I was wondering, you know, you gave some bad information to what's his name?
Oh, yeah, when he called and was asking about special teams. Well, I was just – I had no idea. I think that caught anybody who was looking at the depth chart was surprised to see that.
I wonder if he has a nick or an injury somewhere.
I don't know. Jacob's listed as the number two guy, but I don't know. Maybe he has been banged up.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I got. Hey, by the way, a great place to hear and see the game is in Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Yeah, you're right.
So I'll be there on Saturday. I won't be at other places.
In your new seat, right?
Looking forward to it. In my new seat. I moved from some people I wasn't very happy with last year.
Yeah.
So.
I'll have to get used to where I need to look for you.
I'll wave to you. I'll be the guy in the orange shirt.
Yeah, I'll find you.
They told us to wear white. I don't normally follow instructions too well.
Well, white's not a bad idea in August in the afternoon. It's better than dark.
Probably not, but I don't know. I just something about it. I like wearing orange the first game. I always have.
All right. You won't be the only one, Tex.
I'll be the guy in white. Yeah. I know. All right, guys. Talk to you later.
See you later. 334-321-1390. Who was it up next? JR? Hey, JR.
Hey, I heard y'all talking about the documentary earlier. Oh, I'm not a Florida fan. I ain't a fan of Urban, but it was kind of good to go inside, like, the locker room and see the players. I kind of enjoyed that, see how their mind works as far as, like, you know, I guess keeping a locker room together. And there was an instance where one of them went punch one of them in the face. I mean, it was pretty good on that part. I kind of enjoyed that part of it, just going inside the locker room and seeing how they hold it together and all. But
and I've heard JR, you know, again, having not watched it, I've heard that the Tebow and Urban Meyer come across well in the documentary. It's just, you know, the criticism I've heard of it seems to keep circling back to what was left out or omitted from that period of Florida football. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are also like redeeming qualities about.
Right, Tebow goes into one where he talks about the tight end that got in all that trouble that where he had got, I guess they was saying stuff to him and he went and messed a few of them up. But other than that, it kind of steered away from what you're talking about there. But yeah, I kind of enjoyed it though, like just that part of it anyhow. But I appreciate it, fellas. Thank you.
Yeah, hey, appreciate the call, JR. I don't. Uh-huh. Yeah, so none of us have seen it, right?
Yeah, no, nope. I have not seen it. I know that the talk coming out of it was, well, especially because I think there were maybe expectations for some folks that there was so much salacious or scandalous, the circumstances around that era of Florida football, and to not go in that direction, I think surprised a lot of people.
334-321-1390, and back to the Kia of Auburn hotline we go with Jerry. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I just had a recruit question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we're still recruiting Cam Cove, for example, from Phoenix City. If he is taking NIL money, how does he have to pay that money back?
Well, he better not be taking it before he's in school, or he'd be in trouble.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not saying that nobody anywhere has gotten money before, but I mean, NIL is supposed to be once you are in college.
Right. You agree to an NIL deal, and they start paying you once you enroll.
Right.
Now, in some states, you can give the money in high school, like Missouri.
Right.
That's helped them, I think, with in-state kids. But
well, I was just curious. Thanks for the info.
Yeah, appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. Auburn did pick up another commitment. We haven't really talked about that.
Oh, that's right.
And Dimitri Nicholas, right?
Yeah, a really talented defensive lineman, powerful, pretty athletic, I think, for a guy who's going to be an inside guy. I think he can play the D-tackle or nose position. Probably have to bulk up to play that zero tech, but certainly can play a shade there and do some things. But just a South Florida kid that's played against some really talented players, and when you watch his video, you can see he stands out on the field. And a guy that Auburn targeted early, a guy they brought in, I think he was here at Big Cat, if I'm not mistaken, but a guy they've really liked from the start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Auburn adding one. I mean, I know some folks have been a little disappointed because Auburn hasn't gotten everybody that they've been going after lately, but when you're going against the big guys, you know, you get some, you're going to lose some.
That's right, big boy recruiting, right? And
Auburn's
tried some big boy recruiting over the last 10 years. They've won a few, but they've lost way too many. Mm-hmm. And this staff is certainly winning its fair share, absolutely is, so far. If you look at that commit list, it's very impressive. and certainly on the path to being a top 10 or maybe better class for 2024. Love what they're doing on the recruiting trail right now.
Yeah. Any words about visits the first, I guess, the first week and the third week? You've got Auburn hosting. Any? I mean, is there?
We don't have a list yet, but I'm sure Caleb will have something here later this week. But the dead period does end at midnight. I guess is the 31st of August.
Yeah, Thursday night. I think.
Yeah, something like that.
So Friday, so you can start having visitors. Contact again, which makes sense since it's the first weekend.
Yep.
And players, you know, will be able to come in, and you'll be able to do that. So, I mean. There'll be some players, mostly on. I mean, thing is, there'll be a lot of players in. Most of them are going to be unofficial. You're not going to have many official visits.
I don't know of any official visits this weekend.
But there'll be a lot of kids in unofficially, so that will be keeping them busy as well.
And then the big offensive tackle, the Carter kid, DeAndre Carter from
Modern Day,
L.A. Yeah. He is announcing on September 3rd, I believe, which is the day after Auburn plays.
Yeah, that's Sunday, right? Yeah.
And I think Auburn's in pretty good shape there from everything.
It would be great. Yeah. I mean, Auburn's, you know, they need to add young offensive linemen, and he is a very highly touted young offensive lineman.
He is, and a guy that can play tackle, and that's an area that Auburn has not recruited well for decades, it seems like. That would certainly be a big pickup. I think you're going to see with the offensive line position, because it's a position that's really, you know, guys have to be brought along, right?
It's more developmental.
Right, that's what I was looking for. You're going to see Auburn recruit high school players, but you're going to see Auburn, even when they get the roster set, still reach into the transfer portal for offensive linemen. Because, you know, if you get a guy at a group of five school that's had a 2 or 3 years and has really developed into an all-conference type player, you can get that guy and have him ready to step in and play right away. So I think you're going to see Auburn do both on the offensive line especially.
334-321-1390. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join us as we wind things down here on the Monday Drive.
Kia of Auburn welcomes you to the dog days of summer. It's hot.
Live at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment on this Monday. Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Again, Brian, while we've got a little time, just let folks know everything that's going on, what all you guys – I know you said you're working on a couple of stories yourself for tomorrow.
I am, and we've had a lot of content today. I did my Monday Musings earlier, then did a story on Amari Kelly. We updated the injuries. Caleb just put out what he calls the War Eagle Watch, which is basically a commit tracker.
Mm-hmm.
We follow the stats on Auburn's commitments week by week.
Cool.
So that was just put up here this afternoon.
It's nice to have a few to be following. Last couple of years, like, there's no reason to do that for a while because there weren't any commits.
Exactly. So that's pretty good. And then tomorrow, I'm going to have a story on Griffin Speaks, and I'm also going to write about, what Free said about the running game, whether it's really good or the defense is not as good as you'd like it to be.
I think his answer was right. Yes. Yeah. I think it is really good, and you got questions about the defensive front stopping the run.
I happen to think that Auburn's running game is good, and
I want to see, and I don't think we're going to find out now if Pumachan and UMass run for 150 plus yards,
then the red light's going
off. I am concerned.
I think there's going to be some issues. It's important they stay healthy in the front six, right? They don't have a lot of good quality proven depth there. And I think they're going to get a lot better as the season goes on. So we'll have that. We'll have our rundown podcast. We'll get together for that. And then later on in the afternoon, we'll get to go out to practice and have some video and notes from that. So it'll be another busy day.
Yeah, no question. So AuburnSports.com and follow Brian.
BMATAU on Twitter and Threads.
All right. Got a few minutes left here. Anything?
So what would be – okay, if we were doing the old pick 'em, like, what would be the tiebreaker? this week, Bill? Like, what would what kind of stats are you interested to see from this team coming out of this first game? Like, what where
mine would be run defense, the run yards, rushing yards allowed. That'd be mine.
Yeah, because UMass ran for what, close to 200 yards, yep. I think, this past week, and they need to be able to try to do that. So I'd say yes. I think rushing yards allowed by Auburn.
Thorn passing yards, yeah, would be on the board as well.
Yeah,
but that may not tell the story, because if Auburn can control the game on the ground,
yeah,
and hold them off.
And Hugh Freeze was talking about it on the opposite end today, talking about, well, you may only rush for 90 yards, but if you throw for 400, well, right. If you run for 350, you may not put up fabulous passing yards.
Yeah, maybe Peyton Thorne's completion percentage, because that's been an area that Auburn has struggled in for a while now, is having a 60% or better passer, right?
I thought it was interesting when Hugh said the other night on Tiger Talk that he'd like Peyton to complete a little higher percentage of his passes.
Yeah, so we'll see. Yeah, that's another interesting thing to follow here early in the season, right?
Yeah, because that's one of the expectations. That's one of the things Peyton said. He considers himself an accurate quarterback.
Right, and if Auburn's able to run the ball like you think they should, that should make it easier to throw it, right?
Should.
But it's not just Peyton Thorne. It's the offensive line blocking for him, and it's the receivers running the right routes, being at the right place at the right time and catching the ball. There's a lot that goes in to offensive execution.
It's not being third and long all the time,
right,
too.
Right, that's true with Peyton Thorne, and it was definitely true with Bo Nix, who people still can't get that through their thick skulls sometimes, but yes. It all plays a part.
Look, and we haven't gotten a lot of talk about this. You know, we don't have that much time.
Here comes the phone blowing up about Bo Nix, right?
Well, no, I'll drop this one out there. The folks that insisted Auburn would be better off without Bo Nix at quarterback,
yeah,
like they've had a year and a half of evidence of what it looks like, and it, you know what I mean? Like, just it clearly,
Argon's been okay with him.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, and or not to mention, yeah. What you, like, I was just talking about what Auburn's
got.
Oh,
I know. It's just
what Auburn's gotten. But no, yeah, I want to see Bo succeed. I think it'd be really cool, and they've got a year where there's going to be a lot of good quarterbacks in that conference and battling it out. But I think Oregon has a chance to make a run.
Yeah, I think Oregon's still happy with that trade.
Yeah, and it's you know, and I think Robbie was you know,
was it a 3-for-1
developmental piece?
Robbie,
yeah.
Jason, and DJ, but you got DJ
and
in the
DJ
deal,
James
too.
Is DJ James, yep. Has had a you know,
that's what it feels like.
It worked out
it was
pretty
a 3-for-1
well for both
deal,
sides,
yeah,
right?
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it,
that's
I don't
the
know
only thing we're
for
missing.
Someone else to jump.
No, no, I was going. I've said that for years. That's about the only thing we're missing in college. Yeah. Let's start having some trades.
Yeah, but when players can leave whenever they want, what's the point of acquiring someone who can leave, who can transfer
you
out?
You have to do like the Cardinals do and convince them it's a good place to stay.
I love
long term.
I love the idea of the Premier League. You know, the if you finish at the bottom of the SEC, you move down to the Sun Belt type.
That's right.
Idea, but boy, oh boy. You would hate that if you're a team like Auburn. You have one of those years that Auburn has every so often. That would just kill you, right? Having to climb back up. What would that do to a team's recruiting, right?
Oh. Goodbye.
Well, if you divorce
everybody in the port.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, if you divorce football from, because I've always thought one of the problems would be, so would the entire athletic department go down to that conference too? Auburn football gets relegated.
No, just that sport.
Yep. I was going to say,
it'd be crazy,
wait,
man.
A minute, like. Is Auburn basketball in the Sun Belt now because they the football team?
No, you can't penalize the other sports. Yeah. Wow, it would
That's
be.
A whole other show, though.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, we'll do that when it's a little slower. Hey, Brian, thanks a lot. Always great stuff.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And we will be back tomorrow. Well, Dan, I guess we'll you'll check in after the viewing window, right?
I will pop in to hour number two, but Andy Burcham. Hanging out for hour number one. Looking
I hope
forward to
Andy
that.
May decide to go to the viewing window as well. If you see Andy over there,
I asked him.
Then we're just going to kick it over there, and I'll just sit here and listen to you guys.
He expects to be in the studio. I ran it by him before we made our plans.
Okay.
Good. I think Andy's going to be in the house.
Sounds good. We'll look forward to that. We're out of time here on the Monday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.